The Gospel of John. And here tonight, Jesus reminding his disciples that the world is not going to love Christians. And when we stand for Jesus, we know this is true, don't we? And so beginning there in chapter 15, verse 18 this evening of John 15, Jesus said, "If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. They have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now they have both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause." So the world hateth you. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for the privilege to meet here this evening and open your precious word in the Gospel of John. May we learn from it. May we grow from it. May the Holy Spirit guide us in truth. May we have a special prayer time together later. We give you the whole service in the evening and thank you. And love you and pray you'll guide us now in Christ's name. Amen. So the world hateth you. That is our title tonight. That is the theme of this passage. And we know this is true. We see it coming to pass in our own lives as we stand for Christ. The Apostle Paul experienced this. Peter experienced it. All the disciples eventually experienced this, if you will, prophetic statement that the world would hate God's people. To give you a couple of examples, go to 2 Corinthians 11 from the Apostle Paul's life, where he shows that it was a true statement for him in his experience that the world hates Christians. 2 Corinthians 11, look at verse 23 down to verse 26, what Paul has to say. He says, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool, I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren." Sounds like Paul had it pretty tough. And all of that for doing the right thing, which is serving the Lord Jesus Christ, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. The world hates Christians. And Jesus warned us of this. And he even, over in chapter 16 of John, He warned the disciples again and us that this would happen. Notice John 16, verse 2. He said, "They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service." So he said there would come a time when people who killed Christians would think that they were serving God. Guess we're already there, aren't we? Every time there's a suicide bomber, who are they after? Jews and Christians. And then over in John 17, again, turn there, John 17, 14, he says, he's praying now to the Heavenly Father here at the end of his time in the upper room, and he says, "I've given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." So he says to his Heavenly Father, "I've given your disciples your word, and the world hates them." And so the world hates Christians, and that's the theme Jesus is getting across. The Apostle John, in his first epistle, he says in 1 John 3:13, "Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you." Don't be surprised, in other words, if the world hates Christians. It's going to happen. So on down in our passage, John 15, down to verse 20, he says, "Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will persecute you." So he says, the world hates Christians. And he said, that is going to result in some persecution. And if you would look at 2 Timothy 3:12, this is an important verse for Christians, 2 Timothy 3:12. We talk often about all the promises of the Bible. This is one of the promises to Christians. Look what he says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." That's a promise from God. That if you choose to live a godly life and stand for Jesus, that you'll be persecuted for it. And that's what Jesus said. He said to his disciples, the world hates you, and the world's going to persecute you. And the Bible and history tell us that all the disciples were martyred. None of them died a natural death. Why? Because the world hates Christians, and the world is going to persecute Christians. So what's the why? What's the why? Jesus, he gave us the why, didn't he? Verse 22, "If I had not come and spoken unto them," John 15, 22, they had not had sin. But now, they have no cloak for their sin. The world doesn't hate Christians because of who we are. The world hates Christians because of who we represent. Amen? A holy God. We represent a God that's righteous and holy and just. That's why the world hates Christians. And Jesus came and he said, now they have no cloak. Now they can't hide their sin anymore because I have come and I've revealed the truth and I've preached the word of God. No more cloak. It's been lifted. And that is the reason why they hate Christians. Because of accountability and judgment. It's those two things. People don't want there to be a God because of accountability. And they don't want there to be a God because of judgment. Because if we are accountable, then we will be judged, right? Those two go together. So if we can say there's no God, then we're not accountable for our behavior, then we can live like the devil and not worry about it. But as soon as we admit there's a God, then we have to admit we'll have to answer to him someday that our Creator has put together his list of do's and don'ts and rights and wrongs and so forth, and we are answerable for that. Go to John 3:19. We looked at this, you know, months ago, but the Bible makes it very clear. This is why the world hates Christians. It comes down really to one little tiny word, three-letter word, and that word is sin. That is the bottom line. Now, they'll never tell you that, but that's the real reason. John 3, verse 19, look what it says. "And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved." Look what it says there in verse 20. Hateth the light. Doesn't the Bible say somewhere, maybe around Matthew chapter 5, "Ye are the light of the world"? Where did we get that light? We got it from Jesus, who says he's the light of the world. He gave us his light when he saved us. And the Bible says that sinners hate the light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. It's all about sin. Jesus says now they have no cloak for their sin. Because now I've come as a representative of the Heavenly Father. I've preached the truth. They have no more cloak for their sin. Hence, they nailed him to a cross. For doing what? He never sinned. He never did anything wrong. For preaching. for saying repent, for calling them sinners, especially the Pharisees, calling them whited sepulchres and hypocrites and vipers and on and on. They didn't want to hear the truth because of sin. Another example is Romans chapter 1. Turn over there in verse 19, where the Bible talks about the conscience that God gave us, and part of that conscience is an innate knowledge that we have a Creator. And notice here in Romans 1:19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Jesus just said that about the people of the day. No more cloak. Here, Paul says they're without excuse. It's talking about humanity. That inside we know there's a God. And then over in Romans chapter 2, look at verse 15. It says, which show the work of the law written in their hearts. This is not talking about the Bible. This is talking about the law written in our hearts, our conscience. Their conscience bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. So men would rather accuse or excuse rather than prepare for a judgment. Hence why the world hates Christians. And so he's revealed in this passage, number one, the world hates Christians, but that's going to result in persecuting Christians. But then he gives us the reason, and that is sin. That deep inside, every person has a conscience and knows that they sin, knows that they've done wrong. And a Christian represents God, who's righteous and holy, which therefore declares sin as wrong, and hence the accountability. Nobody wants to be accountable for their sin. So back in our passage there, we'll finish in verse 24. He says, if I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now, they've both seen and hated both me and my Father. So he says, because of what I said and because of what I did, they no longer have an excuse. No more cloak for their sin. And as he says here, now they've hated me for saying right and doing right. Isn't that something? And if the world hates us for doing right, that God says that's a good thing. Now, if they hate us because we're living like the devil ourselves, that's a bad thing. And that's unacceptable to God. But if we're living for Christ and we're speaking up for Christ and we're witnessing the lost for Christ and we get persecuted for it, God says, that's a good thing. And he actually tells us to rejoice when that happens. Look, I'll show you an example in Matthew chapter 5 over in the Beatitudes. Matthew 5. Verse 11, he says, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely. Look at this little phrase, for my sake. So if someone persecutes you, but it's not because of Jesus, this verse doesn't apply. But if someone does revile you or persecute you or falsely accuse you of evil because of your faith in Christ for my sake, look what he says, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. He says, be thankful and know that if they persecute you for doing right, for standing for Jesus, you just earned a reward. So be excited, be glad. And then he finishes there in verse 25. But this cometh to pass that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. without a cause. There in John 15:25. They had no cause to hate Jesus, and they have no cause to hate us. But it, again, it comes down to sin and the fact that we represent God. And so we should not be surprised, as Jesus has made it very clear, if the world hates us when we live for Him and when we witness for Him. They're going to hate us and they're going to persecute us. And He told us the reason. So don't be surprised, but also don't be despondent about it either, but rejoice. Understanding that the reason has nothing to do with you personally. It's not personal. It has to do with sin. And the fact that they know they've done wrong, and they know they're a sinner, and they don't want to feel that conviction. When a Christian witnesses to them, or when a Christian is part of their life, and the Christian's trying to live for God and stand for Christ, that brings conviction in their heart. And they hate that. They can respond by seeking Christ themselves, or they can respond by getting angry. And most times they respond by getting angry. Hence Jesus' promise, the world hateth you. So don't be surprised if the world hates us and the world persecutes us. Matter of fact, expect it. And as Jesus has made it clear, understand it. Don't take it personally, because it's not personal. It's because of Jesus that they hate us, and because of sin. So thank the Lord for reminding us through this, and as He talked to His disciples and hints to us that we should expect it, and when it happens, rejoice. God's in control. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for Your word.